Welcome back to Voices from the Frontlines. We are now joined by Javier Rodriguez, longtime Mexicano Chicano organizer and rioter spanning over 30 years, founding member of the March 25th Coalition in 2005, which led some of the most impressive and moving actions in 2005 against the anti-immigrant H.R. 4437. He joins us to discuss his latest essay, History on Our Side, Part 2. Welcome to the show, Javier.
Thank you, Manuel, and greetings to all your listeners.
Well, Javier, why don't we go back a little bit, because I know you always talk about the role of history, and why don't you give the listeners a good understanding of the struggle in the 80s that led to an important immigration reform that happened in the mid-80s, and in many ways was led by many forces, but obviously you had a you and the many of the forces that helped organize many of the folks had an important lesson for us to teach now, even in this moment.
Absolutely, Manuel. Firstly, let me point this out. The struggle to empower the immigrant worker, the millions, now possibly at 14 million since 2005, is a struggle to improve their standard of living, to improve their lot, to improve their rights. Pretty much, you can probably say that's the same thing that the writers are fighting for, and we have the same opposition, the same enemy, and that's the transnationals, because movies are definitely, and television is definitely transnational. Mm-hmm. And in terms of history, this movement in its contemporary stage is 40 years old. Founded in 1968, coincidentally through the Mexican-American Political Association, and this one brother who was a mentor to many of us, Bert Corona, mm-hmm. one of our historical figures. And it was in 1968 when, in the context of the assassination of King, the assassination of Kennedy, the massacre of Tlatelolco, and the repression against students, not in Mexico, but remember France and in other places, and also we had the war in Vietnam. And the civil rights movement was in its height, and so was the civil rights movement, the Mexican civil rights movement. And in that context, the immigrant rights movement is born through the vision of this one man and several trade unionists and community leaders, Humberto Camacho, Soledad Alatorre, and essentially they start from zero, building on their own experience and organizing workers, and of course building on also taking from the Chicano civil rights movement. And an organization is established called Autonomous Center for Social Action, and that's the founding, pioneering organization of the civil rights movement, of the Chicano immigrant rights movement. And the organization begins to put forth, let's say, the arteries, organizing through defending the rights of workers on one side of an immigration, on the other side in terms of labor, the police, and so forth. And in doing so, it does it in alliance with the whole of the social movement, and it begins to expand in California, Chicago, San Antonio, and other places. And it essentially what it was a mutual, a mutualista type of organization, something that the Magón brothers established many years ago. In the process, Manuel, the lobbying for amnesty comes to the fore. At the same time, the lobbying against immigrants also comes to the fore. Mm-hmm. In 1971, the racist and anti-immigrant forces begin their track, and they passed a law in California, the first of its kind, 1971, the Dixon-Arnett Bill. And we fought against it, you know, through the leadership of Casa and the old man. We fought against it, and it was passed. It was signed by Ronald Reagan, and we defeated it in the courts. We had demonstrations during that time on Broadway. You couldn't get a permit to take the streets, so we would take the sidewalks. And in 1973, Kennedy and Rodino, Congressman Rodino, introduced a legislation which did not have amnesty, did not have a legalization part, but it had sanctions, and it was clearly an attack on immigrant workers. So the organization established the first national lobbying organization, and it called for a conference, and from there on, and throughout the years, the movement began to expand. And in around 78 to 82, there was a lull in the struggle, but 1982, it exploded again with the cancellation of what was then called the Silva Letter. The Silva Letter was a lawsuit, was based on a lawsuit by one man who on a class action suit, argued that 20,000 visas were taken from Mexico and given to the Cubans, meaning the immigrants that were coming in from Cuba. So the court decided in 1982, and because over 100,000 of the immigrant the undocumented immigrant sector applied for that. At that moment, when it was resolved, only 20,000 got it, and the rest then became went on a limbo basis. So they went up in arms. So we struggled, and that was the last 4 years of the struggle, 1982 to 1986, which culminated with the amnesty law of 1986, IRCA, immigration reform. Of that year. And so it was resolved. It was a very generous, in many ways, very generous law. Mm-hmm. And the last push that we gave it was in 1984, through the Jesse Jackson campaign. We utilized the presidential campaign. We pushed. We had by then, on May 19th, the largest demonstration. And you got to put on the number. We actually had only 10,000 people, but by then it was huge. Mm-hmm. It was huge. And that set the ball in motion for its, let's say, its grand finale. We went on, we moved on to the Democratic National Convention, and the Latino Democratic delegates were up in arms. And to make it short, to make it briefer, from there on, there was one more action, which was a takeover of a law firm of the gurus of the National Democratic Party, and essentially that did it. Mm-hmm. And we got the bill. And ironically, the guy that signed the first law, the law against immigrants in California in 1971, Ronald Reagan, was the one that signed the law of 1986. Mm-hmm. But 2.5 million of those workers, of the immigrant worker, mm-hmm. were left out, mm-hmm. were left out. So the moment that the bill was signed and it began to take effect, the struggle began for the human rights of those that were left out. And from there on, there were several stages. There have been several stages in building up to 2005 and more so 2006. H.R. 4437 explodes, becomes the motivating factor, but essentially from that moment on, in November, when the law, the IRCA law of 1986, comes into effect, the struggle began for those that were left out and for those that came after, which is that struggle. Now, but in a more, let's say, in a more complex context, which is international, the international globalization of labor and its exploitation, and also there is a war, and there's 180, possibly 280 million workers, displaced workers due to the neoliberalism and the exploitation of workers worldwide by the new incipient transnational capitalist class, which is also part of the background. So here we are after 2 years of constant mass struggle, mass movement that in 1986 was one of the catalysts, let's say, factors that pushed the vote of the national elections of that year that took away the majority from the Republicans, and, you know, of course, as we know, gave it to the Democrats. Mm-hmm. Which let me point out that the struggle has to totally continue because the Democrats have proven once and many times that they are not going there, that they are part of the empire, and they're not going to create waves, not the kind that we want to push. And so here we are, a presidential campaign. We are at in January. The primaries are taking place, very similar to 1984, and we're parting from the experience of 1984. We're attempting to move the immigrant rights movement in that, to make a present, to mount its campaign on the presidential campaign, as we did in 1984, and then comes the National Democratic Convention, and again we're going to have to be there. The difference, we could say, Manuel, is that there's a lot more of us. There's a lot more experience. We are more savvy politically. We know how to develop strategies. We know how to envision a movement, because the movement that that massified in 2006, I, as one of the contributors, put together a piece which was called An Immigration History. History is on Our Side, and it served as a framework. Mm-hmm. It gave a historical vision, an analysis, and which way to go. And the analysis essentially parted, and conclusions parted from the experience of the struggle up to that point. And just to give you an example,
Javier, we have about a minute, bro. I think it was important, sort of like a breakdown of what the history is and where it's going. Javier, how can people get a hold of you? Because I do think it's an important piece that people should read. I know you're sort of floating it. It's called On Immigration History is on Our Side Too, and it was written on January the 9th. What's the best way folks can get a hold of it, or a copy of it, or?
They can tune in to networkaztlan.com. Mm-hmm. And I have a blog.
Well, thank you, Javier Rodriguez.
Excellent. Thank you, Manuel. Maybe we can continue the conversation some other time.
Most definitely. That's in the end of today's show program for Voices from the Frontlines. This is your host, Manuel Criollo. We'd like to thank our guests, Nancy de los Santos, Panama Alba, Samuel Sanchez, and Javier Rodriguez. Today we heard music from Roy Ayers, Los Plenos de la 21, Joe Batan, and Femi Kuti. You can listen to previous Voices shows at www.thestrategycenter.org and send comments to voices@thestrategycenter.org. We'd like to thank our producer, Christine Blogsdale, and our engineer, D'Angelo Jones, and we'll see you next week for Voices from the Frontlines. Up next is Beneath the Surface with Susie Wiseman.